In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Lord, Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The Lord is risen. He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Do you not remember? Has it been a year and already we've forgotten? The Lord is risen.
Hallelujah,
hallelujah. He is risen indeed. We're going to try it again because you can do much better than that. This is the resurrection day, the resurrection night. The Lord is risen. Alleluia.
Alleluia,
alleluia. He is risen indeed.
Alleluia, alleluia.
Okay, well, that was good enough. That was good enough. I know some of you didn't. But those of you who did know what the resurrection is. Today, when I was thinking about this liturgy, I was thinking about it in silence, what was going on and what we buried on Holy Thursday. Does anybody remember what we buried on Holy Thursday? What was no longer a part of our liturgy after the beginning, Gloria? What was it? I know Alyssa knows.
The bells.
That's right, Alyssa. The bells. Your voice got very deep there for a moment. I'm going to have to talk to your mom and dad about that. So there we go, the bells. The bells. And because the bells were not present, thinking about all these bells and the joy which bells bring, las campanas, made me think of another set of bells. Wedding bells. Wedding bells. Because one of my favorite things to do, I love everything about being a priest, but one of the great things is presiding at a wedding. We just had two weddings in our parish very recently. Thanks be to God. Well, those wedding bells, when they ring, reminded me of a couple that had a very interesting story that I married not too long ago, before I was here, named Jimmy and Amy. Jimmy and Amy are a wonderful young couple, and as I was preparing them, as I always do, we always talk about the various ways in which the relationship comes into being, and when we were speaking, somehow it came up, who was the first person who said, I love you, and how did it happen? And so, when we did that, when that question came up over Amy's face, her gaze went down and she began to blush. So I knew it was a good story. Amy was there, and then she began to tell me. As it turned out, what happened is the couple, after a couple months of dating, they had a really great date night. And on this really great, fun date night, they were walking home from a park where they had just had a late night picnic, a candle lit picnic there by the lake, and they walked around this park and were on their way back home. Amy was overjoyed and had a glass of Chardonnay still in her hand. And as she was feeling the spirits high, not thinking about what she was doing, in the midst of conversation and chatter, she leaned over and said, I love you. Crickets. No response. There was an awkward silence in that moment. Then Jimmy, not knowing what to do, stumbles, knowing he has to say something, just blurts out, yeah, wow. You're really great also. Think about that. An awkward, awkward moment. Love not requited. Fast forward 8 months. What happens was that on another late night, they're walking around that same lake having a little bit of fun. And when they came to that exact spot where they were, when they were walking back to turn an embarrassing memory into a glorious memory, what happened was young Jimmy got down on his knees and asked this young lady if she would marry him. What a great joy. What a great joy to see that, to be his wife, and she said, yes. Those are great moments, Amy and Jimmy, but also ones that we can think of in our own lives. To say, I love you, what does it feel like to say, I love you, and then to be left hanging there? To say, I love you, and to be left hanging there, it's a bit awkward, just to say the least, right? But we come here tonight because love demands reciprocation. Love wants to be loved back. And that's why each one of us are here tonight. Because love is being requited. We come here to Mass because of reciprocal love, love that is returned. And I'm not talking about God's love for us. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about Jesus. I'm talking about God for himself. I'm talking about that second person of the Holy Trinity, Jesus Christ, and his gift of love. Jesus comes to earth, remember, as a little baby boy, born of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and he comes to find us through the rest of his life, seeking us out, seeking us to heal us, to find us when we're lost, to pay an ancient debt which we owed because of our sins and because of the sin of Adam and Eve, as was read for us in our first reading. Jesus gives to the Father in that moment at an act of pure love for us. But more profoundly, what he's doing is he's offering pure love and the whole of his life back to his eternal Father. That's what love is. Giving totally of oneself. Jesus' death gives his own gift of his very life back to the Father. And we get a share in that because he gives it on our behalf. Jesus' death, brothers and sisters, is the most beautiful gift that ever could be given. It's the most beautiful gift that humanity will ever experience. Jesus' death there on the cross, which we experienced just a day ago, was Jesus' way of turning to his Father and saying, I love you. And he said it first. But you see, the Father, unlike Jimmy, doesn't leave Jesus hanging there on the cross. He doesn't leave him hanging in that moment. What the Father does is he takes that gift which Jesus offers to him perfectly by his spotless death upon the cross, all that love, all that life that Jesus pours out in that moment, and what he does is he pours all that love which his Son has poured out on him back into his Son, giving him everything that he lost and abased himself, as we spoke about yesterday, when he was squeezed of all his love and mercy. God pours all that back into his Son. That's love reciprocated. Brothers and sisters, what we call that act of pouring that love back into the other person, we call that resurrection. Life-giving. And eternally so, because it is from the Father. It's the gift given, and a gift received, and a gift returned for the gift. In that time that we have between Good Friday and Easter, brothers and sisters, what we do is we get to witness the identity of God, who he really is. We see him, and this is what God is. And this is what you should walk away from this Mass knowing what God is. God is self-effacing or self-giving love. Totally self-giving love. And just as we can be enthralled by a sunset, which we have such beautiful sunsets here. Raymond Zamora almost every evening shows me a picture that he took of the sunset. Beautiful sunsets we have. Just as a sunset can draw us into it endlessly, making us feel like we ourselves, when we're gazing at the beauty of that sunset, it's like we're a part of that sunset. We can't find ourselves separated from that beauty because it captures us so endlessly. In the same way, what happens is that we can be so drawn into a relationship with a person whom we deeply love. So pulled in by the beauty of that other person that we feel that we and that other person are one. That we're inseparable. That we might even be soulmates. That is the unity and the oneness that every human being craves for. So too, when we look upon that cross, when we look upon that cross and when we gaze into that empty tomb, we see the two sides of that same reality. We see beauty itself. We see unity. We see love. And it's made real for us in time and in space. That's what it means to look upon God and to see who God really is in endless self-sacrificing love. The risen Christ is telling us that eternal life is here. That the kingdom of God is here. And that we can begin to live it out now. Because it unfolds for us not just in eternity, but in time present. And that's the movement for us. To recognize that eternal life, this resurrection life, this alleluia, isn't something that just is going to happen one day when we step into heaven at the end of a life well lived. God wants to give it to us now. What do we know in the scriptures? It says that the Son of Man came to give life and to give it out abundantly so that we can have that life and live in that life. So brothers and sisters, we see that. We are witnesses to eternal life now, especially when we see baptisms. Remember last year what happened. Little Sienna was here. Little Savannah was here. And you witnessed it. Life was poured out into them. The sweet touch of God made them completely new from their very internal parts and outward. For all eternity, it healed them of everything and made them holy, heirs to God's eternal kingdom. Not just one day, but in this life too. Baptism does that. Javen, you experienced it just a little while ago. Changed your life. We witness the outpouring of that life in another way, though, too. In the outpouring of the 7 gifts of the Holy Spirit. We saw that last year, too, didn't we? Upon our 3 young children, young men and women. How the Holy Spirit was poured out upon them on their confirmation. It's not just something that is a foretaste of heaven that one day you're going to be able to use these gifts that God gave you. That's not what happened in confirmation. It's not something of the future, but it's the power of God burning love within us that drives us each on every day. St. Paul was able to say it well. He said, "Why is it that I'm able to endure trials, tribulations, difficulties, and hardships in this life and continue to proclaim the glory of God?" He said, "Because caritas Christi urget nos." Saying we do this because the love of Christ compels us, draws us forward, leads us to not care about this life and its sufferings, because we can see the glory which God has revealed in us, his sons and daughters. And we want to lay hold of it now. And even more, to see it laid hold of by those who are around us in this life. That's what goes on. That's why we want to make the whole world Catholic. Because we want them to share in the same joy which we have. It's not just seen, this love which God pours out in the resurrection isn't just seen in the hands of a loved one. But we see it also in the Eucharist, which is God's love for us. Where the very presence of God comes to live within us, to dwell within us, body, blood, soul, and divinity, as our young first communicants are preparing for now. It draws us beyond ourselves. The Eucharist says, "Come out of yourself so that I can come into you," and leads us into that life eternal, where God dwells in his unapproachable beauty. The love of Christ draws us beyond ourselves. Tonight, brothers and sisters, God is giving us eternal life in the sacred Mass. But it's not just something that we're supposed to lay hold of at the end of a life well lived. He wants to give it to us now. And he manifests it in our presence now. And he asks us, are you going to be willing to share it with somebody else? Because when we see the resurrection and we have the resurrection life within us, that joy makes us want to share joy with others. He gives us that, leaving the choice before us. We can either tell others about the love which we have, which we've seen in the empty tomb, the joy of Easter, or we can leave them hanging there upon the cross in death and despair. But we want to experience God's joy, the joy of Christ now, the joy of an empty tomb, the joy of his eternal life, which has come to us. And so the Father offers that to us. When we've received these sacred mysteries and seen these beautiful experiences, are we doing anything to make sure that others come to catch that same joy? The Father, what happened is he received Christ's total gift. Jesus gave it to him. That's the cross that's fulfilled in the resurrection and reciprocity. So, brothers and sisters, we have one question left before us tonight. Are we going to leave Jesus hanging? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.